Good morning, Charlottesville, and welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and we're really grateful to have you here on this Saturday morning. Lots going on. It's been an interesting week here in Charlottesville and along the East Coast with this earthquake and the tremors that all of us have felt from just about 20 miles away from where it started and across the East Coast. And kind of appropriate to have the conversation that we're going to have today in regards to tremors and aftershocks and things like that, because we're talking about the economy and we're talking about the raising of the debt ceiling. We're talking about reducing debt. We're talking lots of different things. And when I thought about what I wanted to do with this show, there was one person that came to mind, and he's been on the show a couple other times and was gracious enough to join us again today, the president and CEO of the Mortgage Bankers Association, Dave Stevens. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, Michael. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for being here. As I said, it's been kind of crazy. A couple of weeks ago, I had Professor Ed Burton on the show, who's a UVA economics professor, and it was the Tuesday when the debt ceiling actually got raised. We were pre-recording the show, and it was actually that day. And it was very interesting listening to him, because he said, you know, it's not at all about raising the debt ceiling. It's about what are we going to do to reduce the deficit. And until we do that, you know, we can't really expect to see any real changes. And then I saw on Facebook that you were at a dear friend's office a week or 10 days ago, John Wolford with Long and Foster up in Springfield. And I heard you hit a home run there. And that's what just brought me to asking you to come back on, because I think the things that you were talking about there are just wonderful compliments and a follow-up to what we've been talking about on the show for the last couple of weeks. So I appreciate you coming on, and I'd love for you to just kind of, you know, you've gone from being at HUD and being on that side of the policy side, and now you're on the mortgage bankers side, you know, lobbying for consumers and for banks and for mortgage companies and things like that. And I'd love to just get your kind of overview of what you've found and as best as you can, what you see for the future.
Well, that's a nice broad subject for a short radio program, but
yeah, exactly.
And we can go in a number of directions, Michael. But you know, we all have to remember that this collapse of the international economy, which is the worst overall recession since the Great Depression, was first and foremost brought on by a period of prolonged excessiveness in a variety of areas. I mean, excessive exuberance for home ownership at all costs, which brought on things like stated income loans and products that were too risky. In fact, it brought on this excessive speculation with untested and untried underwriting models. Excessive risk appetite from investors around the world who just wanted to buy anything that could get them a good rate of return on in the mortgage finance market, and an excessive use of housing as a piggy bank versus as a long-term place to raise a family, provide shelter, and make a good stable return over the long term. And all of that ultimately collapsed, and it didn't only just have a terrible impact to the U.S. economy, wiping out investments in pension funds and corporate assets and bank failures, the failure of Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, trillion-dollar commitment by the Treasury, by the Fed, to buy to purchase securities out of the market when no one would buy them. But it brought down, in the international markets, a lot of financial institutions, governments, et cetera, that had invested heavily in the U.S. markets. And so, you know, that's the beginning that ultimately catapulted into a series of dominoes where today we have unemployment in the 9% range. But more importantly, we have an extraordinarily fragile international climate, which is impacting and bleeding over into the U.S. markets. And Without getting all of this stabilized, until we can stop the bleeding of these markets, we are not going to be in a position to begin growing again. And if we can't get in a position to grow it again, we're not going to reemploy consumers. And if we don't reemploy consumers, consumer spending will remain down and the gross domestic product will remain down. And that will impact the debts, the U.S. debt. It will impact tax revenues and our ability to replenish the coffers of overspending in this country. And so all of this is heavily related to the housing finance system.
When you when you look at that, I mean, absolutely is the case. But one of the things I heard this past week is because of what's happening, you know, say for instance in Europe, and you know, forget even thinking about right this minute about China, but what's happened in Europe, some folks are saying that's why we're seeing, you know, mortgage rates at a 50-year low, because you know folks are you know bringing money back here and putting it in those situations. You know, but from a standpoint of what you've said, you know, to preface what I'm asking, that seems to me that it's only a short-term, you know, fix or a short-term situation, because, you know, why else would the Federal Reserve come out and announce that they're planning on keeping interest rates down for 2 years? I mean, I can't in my whole life in business, I can't remember ever the Federal Reserve, you know, saying anything more than 3 or 4 months out.
Yeah. Well, so you've got multiple factors in play, and you know, it's an interesting point that the U.S. debt can be downgraded, and yet we see interest rates rallying. I mean, in economic terms, it should have really worked the opposite. If our debt was downgrading, it should have meant that people who bought our debt. And lent to us, by buying our debt, that they would expect higher yields for that investment. And instead of that, it went just the opposite way. And the reason is that despite the fact that our debt's been downgraded, I think in many ways that was simply a wake-up call to all investors that if the U.S. debt, the dollar, which is the standard trading currency for most of modernized Western markets, if that's being downgraded, it probably means that the other currencies are even less valuable as well. We are still considered, at least at this point in time, the strongest currency in the world. And there's a flight to quality given the fragility of other markets. And all that means to the average home, you know, average consumer is dollars that are available for investment in this deflationary economic environment that we see worldwide is still flocking to the U.S. dollar, and also flocking to other guaranteed types of investment instruments, which includes the mortgage-backed security, which is backed by the full faith and credit, or at least implicitly backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. So, you know, when our debt ratings were lowered, we should have seen rates rise. Instead, we're seeing just the opposite because the international markets were also cratering, at least to some extent, in certain select countries, and so foreign investment dollars are still flowing into treasuries and still flowing into the mortgage-backed markets, and that drove rates way down. As to Fed Chairman Bernanke's comments about keeping rates low for 2 years, you know, I personally, and it's just a personal observation, will be looking for some minor correction to that statement. It's unprecedented that any Fed chairman has made any commitment to rates over that long a period of time. But I do think it's a reflection, Michael, that that's also foresight from the Fed chairman, where he sees any recovery looking out over a prolonged period of time. It's not going to be an instantaneous recovery, so he wants to give confidence to the markets that he'll make certain that from a Fed policy that they'll keep money and credit available as we work through this recession.
Yeah, that absolutely. And before we head off to the break here in a couple of minutes, one of the things that I think is interesting is that when we last talked, we were talking about you know, these mortgage-backed securities and the fact that, you know, if in the best case, the government would love to be able to kind of take their hand off of that and let folks come in and back those versus the government backing them. But it almost seems like with exactly what you've been talking about in the first part of the show, that we've got folks who are, like you said, they're depending on the U.S. government. They're investing, they're bringing their dollars into the situation. And so it seems like, and I may be wrong about this, but it seems like the government has sort of backed away and said, okay, we're not going to deal with that right now. We're just going to kind of, we got enough things to deal with. We'll keep kind of things the same way they are. And do you think that is because folks are looking for that at this point, and it's allowing at least money to come in here to help keep those interest rates where they are and hopefully revive some of the economy?
Yeah, we're clearly in a very different period in this point in the money cycle than we were when in the beginning of this recession, when the Fed had to actually actively participate and buy treasuries out of the market through a deliberate action, which was renewed to buy treasuries. Today, you have a lot of money flowing into the U.S. markets because of the government guarantee, despite the S&P rating, and similar to mortgage-backed securities. The one thing I would caution, and I think it's really important, that even though the Fed may make a commitment to keep short rates low, I still believe that we should see a steepening of the yield curve, which means that longer rates will begin to rise, even though short rates remain low, for a lot of other technical reasons. So mortgage money, mortgage rates being around 4%, maybe a hair under if you get lucky on a good day, but being right around 4%, I would not expect those rates to remain in those levels over a prolonged period of time, despite whatever Fed action takes place on overnight Fed funds. So, one of the interesting considerations for people who are thinking about their own personal decisions is, I don't believe for the long run, for long-term loans such as on home mortgages or even potentially car auto loans, that we should see these rates stay as low as they are for too long a period of time.
Well, that's a great place to take us into the break, because what I want to do after the break is kind of talk about, our side of the ledger, the Realtor Association, your side of the ledger, the Mortgage Bankers Association. What can we be doing to, be straightforward and honest with the folks that we're dealing with, but at the same time try to help people along in making that very decision, because in each individual's place, there's a separate decision to be made. But we're going to take a break. New American Mortgage, we're thankful to have as a sponsor, as well as Classic Furniture. Zeke Cox and the family over there helping you furnish the homes that you buy. So we'll take a break, and after that, we'll return with Dave Stevens, President and CEO of the Mortgage Bankers Association. I'm Michael Guthrie on News Radio 1070 WINA. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. This is Michael Guthrie. It's Saturday morning on News Radio 1070 WINA. Hope you're having a great day, and if this show with President and CEO of Mortgage Bankers Association is of interest to you and you think other people would love to hear it, please have them visit WINA.com and click on podcasts and go to the Real Estate Matters section, and it'll be archived there probably Monday or Tuesday. I was flabbergasted this week to find out that over 2,000 of you all every week are downloading, listening on the computer, putting it on iTunes. I don't know how you do it, but the fact that that many people are interested in what we're talking about for this little bit of time on Saturday mornings is really phenomenal, and something that I'm feel pretty good about. I'm glad that you're finding this to be informative, and that we're bringing you different topics each and every week that show that real estate really does matter. Again, we're talking to President and CEO of Mortgage Bankers Association, Dave Stevens. And Dave, we talked, through the first part of the show about what's happening, why it's happening, and without really trying to prognosticate, into the future. But I was happy to hear what you said at the end about the fact that even though Bernanke and the Federal Reserve are talking about low, that you don't anticipate interest rates staying at this just unprecedented number. I mean, the other day I saw a link, and you may have even posted it, about the fact that mortgage rates are at a 50-year low. But I've been saying to folks that as we move through the end of the year and into next, that it will begin to bounce up a little bit, and people shouldn't just sit around and wait, thinking that 4% or less if you're at a 15-year mortgage or something like that. When you're talking to your folks, the members of your association, how do you go about giving people the tools or the ability to talk to folks so that they can make an educated decision? Because, as I said before the break, I really think this is an individual deal. I mean, whether it be a credit score, whether it be how long you're going to live in the property. The show last week, I spent a fair amount of time talking about when is the right time to refinance. I mean, I would have never guessed that I'd be talking about refinancing again after a couple of years ago. But, when is a good time, or when is it best just to hang in there and maybe pay a little bit extra on your principal? What kind of things are you all in the Mortgage Bankers Association talking, putting out to help people make those decisions?
Well, Michael, we're a little different than groups like National Association of Realtors, which you participate with. We don't have individual loan officers, for example, members of the Mortgage Bankers. We work with the financial institutions and mortgage insurance companies, et cetera, and we really focus on policy. So we work with members of Congress and the regulators to help make sure that we get a safe and sustainable market going forward that has the faith and trust of not only consumers but investors who have to buy mortgages out of this country so that we can have a functioning housing market. And when I think of the kind of things that we're communicating as we talk about the markets today, you know, the one clear point that I think everybody has to focus on is for three decades now, we've been in a virtual free fall of interest rates. In 1981, 30-year fixed rate loans were through FHA were 18%. And
which
from
is
then
when I
till
got
now,
the market,
despite
by the
minor
way.
Fluctuations, we're sitting here at record historic low for mortgage interest rates on 30-year mortgages. While that's going on, there's questions about the future of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which makes those mortgages possible. It's without question there's going to be implementation of new mortgage servicing standards, which will protect consumers but will add cost to mortgages. There's new regulations that are going to go into effect to make the to ensure that this market is safe and sound on a go-forward basis, which will also ultimately show itself in the form of higher costs. And all of this makes me absolutely confident that the downward cycle can't go lower. I mean, we're sitting at 4. Mortgage rates factually cannot go much lower. And real estate collateral as a commodity, as an investment, is, you know, while it's bumping along the bottom here in terms of real valuation, nobody's expecting any further significant downturns in property values broadly. And so that combination of interest rate and property value, you know, those kinds of synergies take place rarely. Now, we've been perpetually in this phase for the past couple of years, and I continuously look and think it can't get much lower. Today, it really can't get much lower. And so I don't bet on markets. I just look at the conditions. I just bought a home, and I bought it, closed on it a couple months ago. I just think the opportunity was too outstanding to not take advantage of. But, you know, you have to be in a position where you feel confident with your employment. You've got the assets to put down for a mortgage, to buy a home, and you're not looking at this speculatively. In other words, you're not thinking about this as a world of I'll own the home for 6 months and flip it and make a lot of money. This is you know, home ownership is about the long term. There's no question that there's a great piece in the New York Times just from about a week ago. And Michael, I'd be glad to send it to you if any of your listeners ever want it. But it's a great article pointing to the fact that renting is actually more expensive than owning on a 5-year basis through virtually almost every market in the country. And so all of these are you know, it's a personal decision. But, you know, 70% of Americans want to own a home, even in recent studies. And we have a population demographic, which is going to show extraordinary growth in the out decade with the growth of Generation Y that's emerging into home ownership years. And we have a shortage of new property being built. So, you know, we're in an economic cycle right now, which is very treacherous. But it will recover, as do all economies. And the question is, as when you're a family making an individual personal decision, the factors that are in play right now make this extraordinarily opportune if you're in the right position financially to be able to take advantage of it. And that's something I think everybody needs to look at as they're looking forward in terms of making these kinds of decisions for themselves.
Well, I'm, you know, obviously just in this this marketplace here in Charlottesville, a smaller real estate market, but one that you know, is pretty productive and I think tries to do business in the right way. And just in my little world here, it seems like, and I may be wrong, but it seems like already the pendulum from what you started the show with today about the fact that, you know, buy the house no matter what, lend the money no matter what, to don't lend any money at all, because even though you're totally qualified, we don't want to lend the money. It seems like to me, just in the last couple of months, that the pendulum is starting to come back into more of a balanced place. I mean, I saw something, New American Mortgage, one of our sponsors, just announced that they now have financing for unwarrantable condos, which, as you know, has just been almost no way to finance those condos, even if they were in good financial condition as a condominium association. And now there seems to be a little bit of a relaxing to hopefully where we get into a more balanced scenario. People don't have to, you know, be hearing that they can't buy a house because they can't borrow the money. Are you sensing that, or am I just making that up?
I think there's plenty of mortgage money for qualified borrowers. I think in some cases the guidelines have become too conservative and are eliminating opportunity and access for borrowers who could qualify for a mortgage and are being excluded because of, for example, simply a FICO score. You know, if you've lost your job for a few months and you struggle to pay your bills, but you've gotten reemployed by a stable employer and you're salaried, you know, should you really be held to task for something that was out of your control and be eliminated from the opportunity to put a roof over the heads of your children in a stable community where they want to be able to not have to worry about a lease expiring and having to move if they can afford to buy that home? So on the one hand, that exists. On the other side, we are seeing more capital come in to, on the private side, for in areas that wasn't here just even 2 years ago. We're seeing a lot more high-end, what's called jumbo mortgage money, and new lenders getting into those markets. And to your point on the unwarrantable condos, and even in some cases investor financing, we're seeing, meaning non-owner occupied landlords, people who buy properties to rent, we're seeing private sector participants come into that space. They are requiring bigger down payments and greater credit protections to enter those markets, but these are markets where there was no financing for just, you know, even a year ago. So it's a good sign that private capital is reemerging, and I actually believe where we need to focus more of our time is making sure that we're not creating a disparity in our housing system that requires you to be that only the rich ultimately or the richer get mortgages, and those that have been through something that of no fault of their own and tried to maintain their financial health and are in a position now where they are safe, stable, and sound with a good company are excluded from homeownership. These are areas of policy that we all need to collectively work on, because we don't want to create a society of disparate outcomes where only certain people get to buy homes and others don't for reasons that are not necessarily productive to the health of the economy.
Yeah, that makes great sense. Well, we're running out of time. I do think that one of the things that I think is very positive is, you know, when folks talk about, I read different things about folks saying that, you know, people aren't interested in buying anymore. I saw an article just this week that 70% of people that are renting rate buying a home top priority in their you know, financial future. So I think that's encouraging. It goes back to that Generation Y example that you gave.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, as always, I'm grateful for you taking the time to be with me. Best to you. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and I look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Michael. Take care.
Folks, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Have a great weekend.